All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I hate to break the fishing news after M-Chuck, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down.
Yep.
All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
I think that's called hitting for the real life cycle. We talk through the whole intro. Two people are eating a bread bowl while we start the show.
Shared bread bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two comments.
Shadow Dog Bash and their delicious bread bowl soup.
At the moment,
it's corn chowder. Nice, unreal.
We were talking about Zins and that sixes are just too much.
It's too much.
You got to draw a line somewhere.
Sixes are heavy duty. At the Jays game last week, I popped in a six. And it requires a lot of maintenance. Like you take it out, calm down from it, let the sweat subside, plop it back in.
But your guest that you were with, did he just rock it the whole time?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sleeps like, within it.
I'm soft.
He's just rocking.
Like if there was a Zin one, I would run with it.
Cause the problem is like, they can really derail you.
Yeah.
Can they throw you for a curve?
Ask Brad Stepanko.
Yeah, our boy Brad.
And they derail me and Jasper.
You got to be careful with everything these days. I swear, like, I know people that smoke weed, and I don't smoke it anymore. I used to. But you could smoke a whole joint to yourself when I was a teenager. And now you take, like, one hit, and you got to call your mom.
Mom, come get me.
Maybe you're a pussy.
Everything is too.
Put it into it.
Bread bowls. This bread bowl looks amazing. Now,
although shout out to Wanye, proper mic etiquette. His mic, you can't hear him right now because his mic is 8 feet from his face.
What am I doing?
Don't care.
It's not far enough, I guess. Is there a better food ever created? Like, man, back in the day when they first made bread, it has to be one of the first foods ever made. They fucking nailed it, like immediately. I can eat white toast.
I would like the first iterations of
white toast. Jay's going to kill you for saying you eat white
bread.
Toast.
I'm not going to kill you.
Toasted?
You're a ruptured appendicitis.
It's like rye. It's like rye bread. It's not like white. It's like rye. It's like this special kind of like rye bread.
There's good white bread out there. It all depends the type of flour.
Don't you think
not enriched wheat flour?
The evolution of bread probably changed significantly. I bet those first loaves were disgusting.
Maybe.
Did we sell the good bread at our joint?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Like no enriched wheat flour. That's all I know. You can't have that.
Nope.
It is modified. It is broken down to its purest form and then like built back up. It's not good. But anyways,
I only eat vegan bites.
I eat so much granola bites. And I'm almost positive that it gives me that I have gluten problems because it just makes me feel like shit.
I love bread.
Never quit it.
I love bread.
Yeah. It's the best.
There's so much sugar in it though. I didn't know that.
Really? No, I
do. Well, it depends on the bread, but yes.
You just off the rack bread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of like, you get like, we'll call it artisan bread, but just normal bread made from scratch versus bread you buy off the shelf at the grocery store. It'll last like five times longer, the grocery store stuff. So that just tells you what's going on.
I love bakery owner Jay. He's eating a bread bowl and I thought it was a pretty logical question. What do they do with all the bread they dig out of there?
They just seems throw it like out. A lot of
they make croutons. He gives me with an eye roll.
And I'll back Toronto's up. You made him look like an idiot.
Yeah. Like, I felt real small.
All right. Let's understand the operation. Not everyone has the same context that you have. Bread and butter and dog patch. They are connected. Yes. Bread and butter is a bakery. Dog patch is a menu that guess what is bread focused. Why? Because bread and butter is attached to it. So anytime we have bread products, we think, what more bread products can we make from those products?
Mm-hmm. I should have counted it like wood. They don't just throw away all the shavings. They make plywood.
There you go.
That's croutons are our plywood.
When I go to
Hold on. Is that true?
It's not like the fine sawdust, but like lots of the chips that come that when making wood, there's a lot of wastage. And
what plywood's made out of. I thought plywood.
Well,
just
no, like
cut down
like
wood.
OSB no, is like see,
it's
organized.
Just a bunch
yeah,
of pieces.
I just when I go to one of my best friends with a curiosity. Have you ever seen the movie Salt and Sea? Remember when he's sitting in the car and he asks? He says, "JFK, his middle name was F." He goes, "Well, stand it for Franklin." He goes, "Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for not laughing at me." And it was the moment between the two.
But
one was just curious.
That's different.
One was just curious, and the other one was soft.
Because that's about a subject that doesn't pertain to either of them.
Yes. Well, no.
Bread Bowl's not a joke, Chalmers.
So you're the bread guy now. So I can't ask you a question about baking without expecting to be
yes. Come
ridiculed.
Correct.
Come correct.
He's a two bakery owner.
I know very limited about baking, but what I know, baker. I know.
Yeah, well, do you know how to garden? Because guess who's a gardener all of a sudden? I am addicted, man. I bought this like 36 thing pods where you could just like germinate seeds. All 36 germinated. It's enough for the garden. Do you think I stopped there? No, I did not. I went and bought 36 more pods, and I'm germinating 36 more.
Are you living off the land?
I'm just not even going to know where to put these things.
You're going full off grid?
You should see. I got like.
How close are you to getting chickens?
Pretty quick.
And also like at urban apiary.
Urban at least one eggs. Beehive. What did you say?
One beehive in the backyard.
And become an apiarist.
Man.
Your own eggs, honey, a couple eggs, yeah. Some bread
what
you love.
Breakfast. Get a pig so I can have bacon too.
Wow, we're gonna kill a pig.
Well, what
you have to kill a chicken.
Sad?
You're gonna eat, well, then you have to learn to butcher and slaughter.
Think, Charles, if you get two chickens, you get eggs every day. You don't have to kill anything.
Yeah,
they lay eggs every day,
buddy. Every day.
Holy rooster!
It's like you could eat
cocks are busy.
Imagine your
dog. Whoa! You don't want a cock around because then you can't eat them eggs.
They're all sperminated.
You're into germination. This is sperminated.
This is how much I know about chickens. So chickens
do you think his middle name's F?
And they're unfertilized eggs. They just lay them all the time.
So unfertilized eggs. That's
according to poultryextension.org.
Fair. That's not my choice for poultry news, but okay.
You know what I'm glad about this is that they're online and they can't ridicule you for the questions we're about to ask since they're an egg expert.
A hen, female chicken, generally lays up to one egg per day.
I can eat more than that. So
that's why it's chickens. You don't have a chicken.
I need multiple.
You need three or four chickens.
Friends. It's like my wife yeah, and dogs. Like you need to have another dog. No, dog.
Chickens
like,
would get depressed. Come on.
Yeah, you should get another dog. If you have a little flock out in the backyard, you'd never pay for eggs again. And then quarterly, you could have one less chicken.
What do you do with them in the winter? You got to build a coop.
Yeah, you got to build
a coop. Heat a coop.
They'll live. Yeah, they'll live. And they'll keep laying eggs. Keep those roosters at bay, though. Yeah.
It just depends how many eggs per day you need.
This sounds doable.
You work backwards from the...
When I was in Hawaii, it might be the rooster capital of the universe. There's roosters everywhere. I watched a rooster chase down a hen. Wow, was that entertaining. That was it was going, they didn't
He's
care.
Like
they were going,
tiger after the master. They're horny as a mop.
Strangely easy to masturbate to.
Well, it took a while. We're watching them. Me and Wanye's nephew. And we're like, this is crazy. They're just running around racing. I'm like, oh, I think they're up to something. And then right in front of traffic.
Did you G-rate the
rooster? And then I get asked, what are they doing? I'm like, oh, they're just wrestling.
Ah,
how old that is in traffic? Yes. How old? Indy? Seven, eight.
Seven. In traffic, they were wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
It would have been a great time to
explain. Cars are stopped. Everyone's laughing.
Oh, no.
Can't eat that egg tomorrow.
Yeah, you're not going to get another opening like that.
Do not eat that egg tomorrow. Do not eat that egg tomorrow. That's what I said.
Seize the day.
If you had a bunch of feral chickens, you could like run around the neighborhood and catch breakfast every morning.
Just literally in Hawaii, you wake up to a rooster going cock-a-doodle-doo.
What
nice
type of land use does one chicken need?
Nothing. Just like a yard. Like a dog run.
I know that the chicken farms. We're trying to give them a free range.
Maybe give them 200 square feet.
Whoa, that's like the size of my kitchen.
6 square feet per chicken is the recommended.
Yeah, but range. You want to be able to say free run.
Yep.
So 12.
Don't do a free range operation. Do like the bad chicken farms where they're all stacked 10 high and they shit at each other.
That's the ones.
Do that in your backyard.
Stack them.
Pump them full of antibiotics. Your neighbors
just fucking.
What are you doing? You're walking out with a syringe. Square feet.
You're walking out with a syringe every morning to give them steroids.
How much does it cost to get a chicken? Could you maybe just go to a farm and ask for one?
Here you go.
There's someone.
What's that .org say about that?
There's somebody on Kijiji right now selling chickens, I'll bet.
Yeah, I was listening to say there's a handful of people listening to this podcast right now who do think we're idiots.
No,
they probably know a lot about chickens.
Come on.
A buddy of mine, his neighbor has chickens and they're away and he is chicken sitting in St. Albert.
You can have a chicken in your backyard.
You can have chickens here. You can live off the land. You can have an urban bee farm. You can have chickens. You can have obviously.
How many chickens can you have in Edmonton?
I think there's a head count.
Hang on. So I got a couple of questions I got to get through. So one chicken Chalmers, you can get estimated cost, of course, $50 per bird.
Oh, buddy.
You're making that back in a month.
365 eggs.
Kijiji's got
divide 20, that by 12, 20 bucks. 30 dozen eggs. You're getting the good ones. These are free range. That's 240
This
bucks.
Reminds me of the guy at the Angelfish in Moose Jaw. So we're walking down the street, me and the mayor of Moose Jaw, and he listens. And his neighbor drives up to his house with this huge fish tank in the back of his truck and goes, hey, can you guys help me load this in? I'm like, yeah, of course. We're in Moose Jaw. So I'm helping this guy load his fish tank in. And he broke down for me his Angelfish operation that he had going in his garage, which I saw it was going so well. He was getting a second tank.
Chalmers, I got the answer.
I want
in your backyard, according to the bylaws for the city of Edmonton, you are allowed to have no fewer than 3 hens, but no more than 6. You have to have 3.
So 6 for your family is probably the right number. Cause you get 6 eggs a day,
dude. So here's the other thing. You know how you look at, as the gardener, I see peas. I thought there was just peas. Well, there is not. There's homesteader peas. There's millionaire peas. Snap peas. There's all different. There's different types of chickens. How do I know which one? There's Chantelser chicks.
Banter chicks.
Well, do your research.
Listen to this.
End of the angelfish story?
I know. They're 20 bucks a piece.
Listen to that. You want to make money or you want to have eggs?
Both. A little bit.
You can sell the eggs.
Call them A, call them B.
Hey, Collingwood Farmers Market is going to open right away. Chalmers chicken stand right there. Some fresh eggs.
You know what? Kids should stop doing lemonade stands. They should have egg stands because I would go and buy a half dozen eggs.
That is actually very smart.
Yeah. Yep.
They should raise the chicken.
Is the egg
they should
the learn one
parenting soon.
That's very
product
smart.
That you don't know the quality of it? And if you find it out, then you've ruined it? You don't know what it's like inside unless you crack it.
What if it's called candling, Chalmers. Search up egg candling.
What's that mean?
You hold it up to a light and you can see.
Oh my God. Okay, listen to this.
Process. Yeah, angelfish.
This guy had one pair of angelfish. Every 2 weeks, it would give birth to 200 eggs. Each live angelfish at maturity is worth $17 to a pet.
So how many of the 200 eggs become? So
it depended on they eat each other. It goes crazy. Some are born, blah, 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 blah. But he's like, every 2 weeks you get angelfish. It's full. And then he scoops them all out and sells them to, ships them live to pet stores all around.
Never been to somebody's house that has an angelfish. I can't imagine.
He was doubling the operation because it was going so well. So I saw it with my own eyes. You could sit here and pluck fucking eggs one at a time till your eyes bleed, or you could sell 4 angelfish and go to the grocery store.
So what you should do is you should think like what Big Farm does to farmers where they consolidate land. You should consolidate backyards and their chicken head count.
Give everybody have 5 chickens.
Oh, and you tie up 10, 50 backyards at 6 chickens.
You're thinking like a Rockefeller.
I'm thinking about like big eggs. Thanks.
And pick them up every morning like the garbage man. You got your egg guy who comes and picks up all the
eggs. I just pick them up on my perimeter search.
Oh, you know what you should do? And then but on the pickup, you should be their milk delivery man and deliver the milk.
Hit them on both ends.
Hit them on both ends.
Why did milk delivery stop?
It's coming back.
Hold up, for real?
Glass jars? In England, it's coming back. Yep.
Oh. Wow.
But well, but you know, it starts there and it comes here.
Yeah, yeah.
Liam's very excited.
Like Spice Girls.
Yep.
Why did they stop, though, I wonder? Just too expensive to have the delivery men work at the dairy?
Yeah, couldn't, because now, you know, big grocery stepped in and said, hey,
the modern milkman.
Get it for half the price here.
The modern milkman. DoorDash. And for right now, if you need to get your milk through DoorDash, 25% off, zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you use the promo code NATION25. You can even use the double dash feature in this instance. There's one spot that sells your milk, a different spot that you really want cookies from. Boom, double dash, no extra delivery fees.
And then I can stop at Chalmers Farm to get a sixer of eggs.
Here's how do it in 2024. You have a giant beehive in your backyard. You have the maximum amount of chickens and you run an off-grid grocery store in your driveway. And
you only have two items for sale.
It's called backyard foods,
honey and eggs.
Let me ask you a question though. If you're getting into gardening, are you thinking of potentially doing a little greenhouse in your backyard?
No. So I have garden
boxes. Well, that's the next level. Then you have 365. Boxes.
So that was the one thing I was concerned about was like in some inclement weather, some of the plants
lose. Because my old man built himself a little greenhouse in his backyard and he's thriving.
Yeah.
365, buddy.
See, so last year we didn't plant any plants and we're talking seeds like until May long weekend. That's and I was not harvesting till end of June, early January or July.
What were your
crop farmer? Get two turns if you plant it right.
So turns. That's why I'm like, I'm germinating
two
in,
yields
in February.
Yeah.
So I, the big haul
in last Feb, year, you started germinating?
Yeah, I started at end of February. So dude,
this guy's got a vision.
I don't even know who you are.
The big haul last year, we planted two zucchini plants and we got zucchinis that were enormous and we had tons. We had to give half of them away that we ever planted. We never.
How come you never offered me any of your zucchini?
You can have had as many zucchinis as you want. The second one was cucumbers.
Two things in the world I won't eat, your M check, is zucchini, and the other one's squash.
Oh,
cucumbers. Have you had spaghetti squash?
Yes, spaghetti squash.
It is mind blowing.
Spaghetti squash like changed my mind on the squash game.
No,
I'll eat anything else. And it's properly labeled.
No.
You can make spaghetti. You can make spaghetti squash into like pasta, and then have it as like.
Yeah, that's what we do. Like make a nice little ball.
It is the pasta. It's the spaghetti. Yeah, it is mind blowing.
It's pretty.
My
good.
Old man grows those, and so every now and then he'll drop off two at my house. At first, I didn't know what to do with them, but now I'm all in.
I come off
all
a bridge
in on spaghetti squash.
That's what I do.
So to finish my yield,
are you that guy on 53rd for third Ave overpass?
I am. I go across town to do my business, then I return home.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers were the other.
You
three.
Grew them all.
Yep, all of them.
Like what level of output? Those are actually delicious.
Zucchini was huge. Blech. Tomatoes was huge. Cucumbers was huge.
Like you did
and the peppers were huge.
Well, you couldn't store anything though, right?
Some berries.
So berries are tough.
Did you
strawberries
can?
Are like, I don't know if you know a strawberry plant, how it works, but they don't grow up. They grow out.
Yes.
And if they sit on the ground for
I wouldn't know
any
that I'm
amount
not a cabbage
of time,
patch.
They go rotten. So you have to like, the reason they call them strawberries is because you plant them in dirt, but you pack about 6 inches of straw on top of the dirt so that the strawberries will sit on the straw and not in the dirt and then rot.
That was a fascinating tidbit of information.
That is new information.
Yeah. Well, like glad. Raspberries, however, I planted one bush in my backyard because it's an annual, I think.
And it's like invasive too. They don't stop.
It is becoming big.
It's like prick of the berry jungle.
Yeah. It's becoming very invasive. I haven't had luck with.
But do you say they're ever just like graze like a bear?
Saskatoon berry tree, please.
Oh, we made some raspberry jam last year.
Yeah, just sit there and graze like a bear out by
the
bush.
Did you join a cult?
No, I just honestly, I found something that's kind of relaxing and just like does it and just is like very fulfilling. I don't know why.
Hey, man, all the power.
Every summer I go and guard with my old man. I find it very relaxing.
I like walk in the door. I don't say hi to my kids and my wife. I just go and like
go and pet your.
I just go look at the. I go look at the little plants. I give them a little squirt of water.
On some level, you're like. Supposed to genetically be wired to farm, so it's probably
I
got
am a
some
provider.
Level yeah of satisfaction
in my house.
The human genome like rewards you with dopamine because you're growing successfully, right?
No,
that will keep you alive through the winter.
So I have to expand the garden this year because of all these plants, so I have two perfect spots for like two really large planters. I just didn't think I needed them, but now I know I need them.
This is how it starts. You want to hear your future?
Yep.
Step one, get good at gardening. Step two,
done.
Get a little piece of rural land.
Ooh.
Step three, bury a bunch of school buses in an underground bunker.
Okay.
Step four, keep all your urine in jars. And the decline.
when do I get to learn how to use guns?
Sounds like the branch.
Early on, I think. Yeah. Well, you get good at gardening. Then you're like, I don't need society. Then you're like, society is really bad.
Yeah.
Then it's the surface dwellers are bad. I got to go underground.
I feel like this is the first step between you doing like the Henry David Thoreau and you're just going to be in a cabin in the woods.
I want to be like, do you remember This Is Us? Do you remember the show This Is Us?
Squirrels.
Did you guys ever see This Is Us with the zombies?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh.
This Is Us is about zombies?
Don't they have mushrooms?
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking of...
It's about the disease show.
I was thinking about the one with Mandy Moore. What was that
one? Yeah, the one. Which one
This Is Us. You're thinking of The Last of Us.
Last of Us. Like, what?
You are thinking of the right show. You are thinking of the right show.
This sappy zombie.
This Is Us.
I don't remember Mandy Moore.
The saddest zombie show.
Yeah. Sorry. Not that show. Last of Us. Remember Ron Swanson from The Office or whatever? From Community or whatever show?
Parks and Rec. But again, you're batting zero.
I am not doing well with this story.
He's a gardener.
What's Ron Swanson's real name? That guy. I want to be
Nick Offerman.
I was going to say
Nick
Offerman. Oppenheimer.
In that show, he's a gardener. He's got a lot of things going on.
You're batting.
Oh, yeah. I heard there's a scene.
Yeah.
Anyways, fact is
he's
wrong.
Very self-sustaining and he's and I figure that if that ever happened in our world, definitely could make the type of booby traps he has.
You learn to hunt though, bro.
You'd thrive.
That's the problem.
You get that meat.
I gotta learn how to shoot a gun.
After that little run you were just on, I don't think that's why they call them strawberries. I think you're bullshit.
No, it's definitely why they call them strawberries. Because I looked at the plants, I researched how to grow them and I was like, I'm not buying straw. This is too much. You are becoming a crazy person. So I didn't do it.
But like we grew strawberries. We never had straw.
You just when you're too comfortable, you need to chase that next high. I didn't want to hang.
I don't want anything hanging around. I want it to be down low, so it's not like in. It's like making a mess and making my backyard look like a garden. Is going to be off to the side. If you hang strawberries, they'll grow over the pot and then they'll hang.
You're not going to have the space with the chickens and et cetera, et cetera.
How many wives
are you going to have in this scenario?
Well, a couple more. I'm going to need them to take care of all this stuff.
Who's going to take care of all the strawberries?
Who's going to harvest all my yield?
Once your crop gets big enough, they let you have a second wife.
These days ain't good for shit. Ain't good for nothing.
Mm-hmm. All their fucking days off.
It's got to be really rewarding one day to just be like, you know what? I'm moving to a plot of land. I'm going to homeschool my kids. I'm going to shoot any intruders. I'm going to grow all my own food. I'm going to have an underground gun cache. This is the good life.
You should go get a plot in like an urban farm or whatever. Garden.
Do it in your backyard. If you got the space.
I know, but if he's worried about, you know, if you want to take it next level,
the sky's the limit.
Like, some of those, like the waiting list is a massive.
Because there are people in apartments. Generally Chalmers has a backyard.
They do.
What if a deer got in the backyard?
You come here twice a week. There's that plot just over by Little Brick.
I've seen them.
You know, you just in and out. You just tend to your veggies.
It gets you to come to the podcast more.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you love your vegetables.
You love your vegetables.
Yeah. What is this future timeline? The only way to get Chalmers to come to the podcast is to give them a garden plot.
Also, they just taste better, Chalmers, so I appreciate your gardening.
Why don't you put a garden plot in Little Brick? Where people can come do their own gardening.
Not enough space.
Well,
I thought that one whole side at the front, like you don't really put people there, do you?
Yes, people
we should
there.
Garden a little bit like, and use the
when
output.
When you walk in, there's the
you
patio and then there's the front yard, like where across from like the actual red door, like the one when you first look in.
Yeah, people sit there.
Oh, they do now?
Yeah, they always did.
I haven't been there since we don't do the podcast there anymore.
Oh, well, they've always did. Even when you did the podcast there.
Thank you for being so gentle with that one.
Oh. Idiot. God. What you could get at Little Brick, and there's a government program for this, is an indoor like pod farm. You can get grants for this.
Those ones that grow upward kind of?
Yeah. So like you'd put it where the back parking lot would be, and it'd be the size roughly of one parking stall, and it's basically a sea container. And then they like measure the output of a tiny urban farm. Hmm. We could like grow our own lettuce.
Interesting.
Lettuce hard to grow. Anyways,
really?
Yeah, we're probably boring people with this vegetable.
Yeah, I would have.
My dad would grow lettuce.
We haven't
in his planter those sizes.
We have
table.
Not had and very much.
Yeah,
success with lettuce.
Amber grew lettuce last year in our backyard.
We did get some.
Do you have anything in your backyard?
Just the lettuce last year and strawberries. Hmm.
Do you have straw down or no?
No, just we have them in like.
And how'd they come out?
Well, we had it in like a taller planter. So it was kind of like, again, it'd spill over the sides. It wouldn't go bad as fast.
We got to start doing pre-show planning because this bitch has been about gardening for 25 minutes and people listening are like.
22 minutes of just straight gardening talk.
These guys had strokes.
How do you shift gears from that though?
I gotta switch.
Grindingly.
I want to know about Tyler being a snitch.
Okay, so we want to do the snitch story now.
Are you on the docket for stitches?
He's in protective custody right now.
The latest on Parking Gate, which is now a police matter.
Oh,
so I don't know how much more I can say. but it's not like,
are you under investigation?
No.
Then you can say anything you want.
Here are the two most recent events since the last time I've talked about this on the podcast. The last time it snowed. So there's van owner and non-van owner, right? Okay.
Who's the first?
Whose side are we on?
Who's the original?
I'm on no one's side.
Non-van owner is the
OG. Well, we got a fun game.
Non-van owner is the OG. Yep. Van owner is the new guy. Thought non-van owner said, you're parking your van too close to my driveway.
Yep.
And who's wanting to sell? Van owner?
There's an update to that. Van owner. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He moved in like a year ago, renovated it, moved in with his kids, and now he's selling.
I'm on that guy's side.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what you have to say. I think there's an update.
During the winter, I was telling you guys about how non-van over was pushing all his snow onto the street so he couldn't pull his van through.
Yeah.
So the last time it snowed, non-van owner went and shoveled all his snow and plopped it directly in the middle of the other guy's driveway. Oh, wow. Like, didn't even try to make it look accidental. There was a mound of snow in front of non-van owner's driveway. Non-van owner, so pissed, he drives around it on his driveway, leaves it there until it melts. It sat there. So flash forward to last Monday. It would have been the day. It's garbage day in our neighborhood on Monday. So non-van owner has a van parked in front of his house. He pulls his garbage cans and puts them right next to the van. Okay, whatever. You're trying to send a message that if you park here, look, this is where my bins go, whatever. So the garbage guy, because he's pulled this stunt before, decides, fuck that. I'm not picking up your garbage today, bro.
Ooh.
So non-van owner doesn't get his garbage picked up. What does he do? Drags his bins and knocks over his garbage bin in front of the other guy's
garbage
house.
Garbage on his lawn?
Yeah, there's just garbage and his garbage bins all over his lawn. There you go. Down. Pass that down.
Can you feel the tension?
Let me see them.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he putting his garbage cans in front of his own house?
Yeah, but the guy's van's in front of his own house.
This might have just blown over.
Van owner is parking in front of non-van owner's house?
Yep.
Could that just have blown over?
But he's only
not on van owner's side.
Okay, wait. But he's only parking there because non-van owner originally called bylaw, because when van owner was parking in front of his own house, he said, you're too close to my driveway. He wasn't. He was just being a dick. So that's how it started. So the retaliation is, okay, you say I'm parking too close to your driveway when I'm in front of my own house, park it in front of your house then. Okay. And there's no rules.
There's no rules to park in front of somebody else's house.
It's common courtesy. But common courtesy went out the window when you started screaming at someone Saturday at 9 a.m. about how close his van is to his driveway. And it wasn't that close.
Okay. So you're on van owner's side.
I'm on nobody's
side. Having inspected that photo, though, sounds a lot worse. You made it out to be.
Okay, but he took his bins. They were in front of his own house. He moved them in front of the other dude's house for no other reason than to be like, look, my shit didn't get picked up. And stayed there for 3 days.
I see. Mm.
So that's why it looks bad. So anyways, they stay there 3 days. Thursday comes around. I'm sitting on the couch and watching Big Brother Canada, which we can talk about later.
So good.
So good. And a cop pulls up and parks in front of my house.
SWAT team?
Just one cop. I'm like, oh boy, what's going on here? So me being the nosy neighbor I am.
Got it.
I got a window open. I'm trying to listen out because he went across the street and was talking to non-van owner. Uh-oh. Who presumably called him there.
Well, yes, it would have to be.
Yeah. So they're talking. And then I see the cop goes to walk next door, but he bypasses van owner's house and goes to the next neighbor. So he's obviously going around.
Trying to build a case.
Sleuthing.
No one picks up that door. That neighbor's not going to snitch. The dogs were going nuts in the window. No one came to the door to talk to the cop.
Then he comes up my door.
That's OG.
Cop starts walking out to his van. I kind of give it like a peek out my front window. And I think he kind of knew that I was like watching and staring around because he just looks and just gives me a little wave. And I'm like, oh, hey. And then he walked up. He's like, hey, do you know why I'm here? And I was like, parking gate. And he was like, do you want to talk? And I had the biggest grin on my face. I was like, do I ever.
You got to snitch about the whole, oh, you rat bastard.
And I showed him every picture I had.
Don't talk to police.
I've been building my own case. I got a file.
Ghetto Boys G-code. Don't talk to police.
Yeah. And even this cop was like, dude, you were the exact person I've been looking for. And I spilled the beans on everything. And this cop was like.
So what side do you figure you were swaying it towards?
So the officer said, because he's only obviously talked to non-van owner so far.
Yeah.
And he said, we've gotten multiple calls from both of these guys. These are like, they're threatening each other at this point. Like, it's kind of getting out of hand. And as I was telling him info, he was like, oh, well, this guy wasn't telling me that. Oh, yeah, he didn't tell me that either. And he was like, what would you say, 60-40? And I said, honestly, no, 50-50. I said, these two guys are just antagonizing each other, and neither of them knows how to just squash a beef. Like, this is getting ridiculous. I then learn that van owner has had trouble selling his house and he's pulled it off the market. So he's back in for the long haul.
All right.
And I wonder if it has anything to do with non-van owner.
Well,
how could he ruin his listing?
It's like on Step Brothers when they were dressed like the KKK when the the realtor were coming to show
can't
the place.
Get any money. This guy can't get out of this that easy.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, I am friends with like one of my neighbors and the police officer then went over there and I texted him after. And I was like, hey, what did the cops say? Straight. And he was like, the cop actually said our stories are lined up. And I was like, so we're good with 50-50 blame. And I was like, yep. And that's what we're sticking to. It's both them's fault.
Snitch.
I was so happy. I want it to end.
But never end.
But now I don't want it to end because the content's kind of funny.
Someone might die.
But like cool. Straight up, one of them has like a really episode. Aggressive dog. And I'm like, he might like sick his dog on the guy at some point.
That'd be a really good episode of Real Life in that episode.
Either van owner or non-van owner.
Van owner, zero. Non-van owner, only zero. Only time I've really talked to him is when he was petitioning against the garage that van owner wanted to make. And was successful in that endeavor, which is why he has to park on the fucking street because you didn't let him build a garage.
Oh,
he
wow.
literally said he
and you think it's 50-50? All right, 50?
I'm on van owner side. That man. Level of this guy is getting fucked with hard.
He blocked his garage. You think it's 50-50?
And then it's now shitting on him for parking on the street.
This is the worst thing because van owner, you don't get to like, when you look at a house, you don't go and meet the neighbors, right? So you put down the biggest purchase of your life and all screwed. Of a sudden you...
Yeah. And I wonder why the people sold their house in the first place.
Yeah, those people must have been like, oh God, thank Jesus.
Offers 20K under listing, don't care. Done.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
I am so blessed to have good neighbors.
He was going to put a garage in his backyard that he could access from the alleyway behind.
How is it 50-50 then?
They said... the reason they got it thrown out, his building plans, is because they said the roof is going to go higher than the roof of his house and it will create an eyesore. And he told me, quote, ruin the neighborhood. I was like, buddy, you have in the winter, you
is
put
there any other, is there any, oh, wow, any other, alleyway garages?
There's one on the first house. The
I don't get it. Up. The city has just lacked everything to do with.
Just shows me the city of St. Albert has no.
And secondary suites. But St. Albert's like not allowing you to build a because it might be an eyesore.
Well, because they
That's
got
incredibly
because they got five other signatures. I did not sign. The neighbor came to the door one day where I was here.
Non-van owner have five people that
he's threatening.
Agree
you
with
still
this
haven't
guy.
Answered my threatening question. How can you say a guy who was disallowed a garage is equally culpable as the guy next door?
Yes,
you're fucked.
Because he's been double stitched.
You're a real fence sitter.
You cannot trust testimony.
Yeah, he tried to park in a garage, denied the garage, then tried to park in front of his house like a normal person, and he's being fought and denied that. I'm surprised he's not parking on his front fucking doorstep.
Here's why I don't give him all the credit. He has three vehicles. He's got his SUV, his work van, and his kid as a vehicle, little Audi.
Okay.
He parks his SUV in his garage. The kid parks on the street.
I thought he doesn't have a garage.
He has a front garage with that single car.
Okay.
He wanted to build a double car in
How
the back.
How rich are you to have two garage neighborhoods?
But when his van is on the street and his kid's on the street, no one's on the driveway. So he could park his van on the driveway.
But then how do you get the car out of the garage?
I know, but then I did later learn that it is technically against bylaw, but I'm not telling the non-van owner this.
Oh, that's where you don't
switch? Oh, he knows.
No, he doesn't know this. And this may have been, I may have had a
What's
source.
What's against the bylaw?
He runs his own company, so he's technically not allowed to park his own commercial vehicle on city street. That is against bylaw in St. Albert. But me and maybe someone else, my source, are withholding that information from non-van owner.
For what leverage?
I don't know, because fuck him. He's kind of a dick.
You never talk to him.
I still don't like him. I don't like either of them. That's my point.
All right.
Because they're ruining the neighborhood.
If I knew that my neighbor had snitched on me to the degree that you did, you would have a second beef going on your streets now.
I made sure my ring doorbell camera works.
I would have legitimately watched that cop. If I was van owner, I would have watched that police officer go to talk to you people.
While you do a
and then I would have come
excited.
Out there and I would have asked, hey, what did he say to you? I would have been curious. But I also would have had a little bit more of a rapport with you by now. I've met everybody around me.
Like, yeah, my neighborhood is not like that. When the people who sold us our house wrote us our letter being like, welcome to your new home. Like, here's what you need to know.
Don't talk to the neighbor.
It was literally like, your neighbors on one side are so-and-so and so-and-so. You won't talk to them. And I don't. And I was like, your neighbors on the other side are so-and-so and so-and-so. They'll take some getting used to. And it's like, that's a pretty damning thing to write in a letter.
Red flag neighborhood all over the place.
So the only neighbor I like has now bought a house out in the country and is moving this summer.
Yeah, because he needed to get the hell out of the city.
I have no one.
Grow his own chickens.
It's ridiculous.
You should move. Huh? That's the answer, Tom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think this sounds like something that'll never get resolved.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Someone's going to die first.
That's going to be a great.
Whether it be natural causes or I don't want to throw the universe. Never mind. Don't
murder.
Say that. Don't say that shit, Jay.
Yeah. We all need alibis now.
Anyways, the cop was like, can I take all this info down? Can I have your name? I was like, yeah, man. I was like, I want a resolution here. Secretly, I kind of don't. But
you're like inconvenienced by this. You're loving this. Why do you want a resolution? This is the greatest thing that happened to you.
I don't like conflict. It makes me uncomfortable.
Somebody's going to hear this, and then soon somebody's going to start parking in front of Tyler's house. Yeah,
then don't snitch on people if you don't want conflict.
If your neighbor sells their house, the new people move in. They start parking a car in front of your house. Do you go over and have a conversation with them saying, hey, like, why? First, let me understand why you're parking in front of my house.
Yeah, like if that guy was parking his white van in front of my house every day, every night, I'd be a little bit like, hey, man, like, can we do something about this? But then I also wouldn't have an issue in the first place when he was on his driveway and be like, dude, you're too close to my driveway. With I'd just be like, okay, this is life. Like, whatever. The other thing, too, is there is a longstanding history back to when before I moved there about my neighbor and non-van owner freaking out about parking on the boulevard to the point where if someone comes over and is visiting my house, if they park on the front of my house that is more on my neighbor's side, he will pull his truck off the driveway for no reason other than to park it an inch away from your bumper. Like, he sends messages. One time,
but this is a different neighbor than the two that are feuding.
This is the guy who lives right next to me.
Passive aggressive neighborhood. Yeah,
you fit in perfectly, snitch.
Buddy, buddy who lives across the street from me, works for Star Mechanical. Shout out Star Mechanical. There's one day he had to bring an extra work truck home. So he had two work trucks in front. And this guy came out and yelled at him. This isn't a fucking parking lot. Like, you don't get it. It was in front of his own house. He parked two vehicles.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to make a living here. Just trying to like.
No, it was like he got scolded. This isn't a parking lot. This is a neighborhood. What are you doing? So they have this weird thing where they think they own the boulevard and they don't. So there's something about being neighborly. But then there's also the angle of like, don't be a dick. The people who live next to me, I never talk to. When their son comes over and I think he like works a week on, week off, his car will be parked there for a week. It's in front of my house. I don't give a shit because I know it's going to go away right away. I'm not going to go like yell at someone over where they're parking their car.
Like also, you don't own the public
street.
You're
showing weakness around public everyone street. In the neighborhood.
Anyways, that's parking gate update. It's ridiculous. Every side's ridiculous.
Yep, it is. Nobody has any sense. Nobody has any sense of.
Hey, I'm with Van Guy.
I mean, I am too.
If I had to pick a side.
Van Guy the minute he.
Got the garage thrown out. Yeah.
I am immediately on Van Guy's side because like. This is my property. Like,
I was going to spend my own money to fix this issue.
Here's my thing. I have built things for people that have had to go to the city due to a variance that we needed based on a complaint with the plan for the next door neighbors. And I'm going to say that like the five times it's happened, the people are just unhinged in a way.
And it's like the most minor thing that has no impact on them.
Yep.
None.
These people wanted to put a covering. This is the most recent. A big covering on their backyard deck. They're in a ravine. Their house is so far back in that ravine that the people next to them can't even really see.
And like, they fought it.
Pass it. They sold their house because of it. The people next door. After it was built and they lost, they sold their house. Like, it's... Some people
just can't ignore anything anymore.
I know,
it's like it's like a little piece of power or something that they have, right? And they gotta flex it. Mm. I can't wait. I'll be the same way. Just kidding.
Don't. All right. I have something else I wanted to get to, and we had a conversation before we started recording that I want to get to. But first, we're gonna step aside for a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Back half of the pod brought to you by, oh, this is great. Are you looking for more privacy from your neighbors? DuraGuard. DuraGuard Fence Limited. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta that can do it all, count on DuraGuard Fence. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. DuraGuard Fence, your one-stop shop for over 37 years. Chain link, wood, vinyl, ornamental fencing? Sure.
Do you want to make your new chicken coop look better than you could do by yourself? DuraGuard Fencing.
Well, DuraGuardFence.ca.
You want to make sure you get a fence that gets made that doesn't get you in trouble with your neighbor? DuraGuard.
They're pros.
So I need to get my fence fixed. And it's on the side. It's so bad. It's on the side of the neighbors I never talked to. So I've lived there for 2 years, never spoken to the guy once. Amber's talked to his wife once. I need to now
go.
The building of a fence is the ultimate test in how much you and your neighbors can coexist.
Are you
going
to ask to go 50-50?
Well, okay, so here's this is where I'd like some advice from people older than me.
This podcast is so boring.
I can give you every...
I think this is what the people want.
Gardening, fighting with your neighbor.
I've dealt with so many people and building fences. I can tell you exactly what you need to do.
Okay, so shared fence.
Yep.
But their garage like blocks their view of 90% of the fence, and then the back little bit, or I shouldn't say 90, back 50% of the fence. Then there's like 25% at the back in their yard, but they never go in their yard. And then there's the front 25 that they would kind of see. And then there is a gate, but that gate's on my property. So I'm on the hook for the gate. How should we split the fence? What should my offer be? I was going to say, hey, will you guys cover a third of this project?
No, they should. It's half and half. Anything that sits on the property line, which is another big key, you are going to have to get your plot plan, their plot plan. You have to make sure that fence is on the property line, meaning you will have to have a surveying company come out and stake it, show you exactly where it is. You can do it yourself if you know what to look
idiot?
At the front and the back of every single yard.
Guy grows one pot of peas and now he thinks he can do anything.
At the very front and the very back corner of everybody's lot, if you dig down far enough, you will find a pin. And usually it will have a ribbon around it.
What?
And if and it defines the
like
property.
A prize?
And it is deep. It's probably grown over.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to use a metal detector. Yeah. And then dig down. It's a fucking long pin. So like even if you dig out the top of it, you ain't moving it. It is in there for good. You then put a stake on one side, stake on the other side, and you run a line. That's the property line. There is no
couldn't we just agree to put the new fence with the old fences?
So yes, you can. As long as you agree that anything that touches your property and my property, regardless if you can see it, fences aren't there to be seen. They're not like people build fences all different types of ways. They're there for a reason. They are to create privacy. Mm-hmm. They are to create a structure of the continuous field around your property, right? To contain that's what it's there for.
The ghosts in the Ghostbusters?
The dog you might have. It's a privacy thing, but it's not. It doesn't matter if they can't see it from their house. It doesn't mean that you would build up to it and then build the rest if you had to pay for it. So 50-50, man. That's it, right?
That's the deal.
The gate? That's on my side?
No, the gate. If that's on your gates, property. It's me. That's on your side of the property.
Even
line,
though it's attached
anything
to the
they do on their side of the property line
maybe I can pull
is
a fast
theirs.
One on
if it goes right down the center and it separates two worth properties, that is a 50-50.
So my thing, because again, they don't see the fence as much as I do. What if they say no? So this is what the fence looks like right now.
It doesn't need to be replaced.
Oh my God.
That looks great.
It's like warped. It's and like it's warped.
Steve
Let me add this.
Semi's teeth.
It's warped because this is the one time Amber went and talked to the neighbor's wife. For the first year we lived there, they had old tires, a ladder, leaned up against it to the point where it was almost falling okay,
so
over to my yard.
So you have
I know, but what
two
if there,
options.
But what if there's like, no. Oh, we don't want to do that.
Then you have two options.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. If they
is
have,
there,
if
is there
they
a say, rule that it has to be 50-50?
No, it's a neighborly thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just curious. Right, I don't know.
No, it's if their argument is, well, we can't see that, we don't care. Say the actions you've made in the past, unfortunately, have created this fence to become unusable now.
Yeah.
And this fence is not acting in the manner that it is supposed to be acting at. And therefore, we have to fix it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's when you say, you know, if that's when you hope they're going to say yes, 50-50. Yes, they understand what they've done to the fence. They understand that just anybody's property, when people come to sell it or you go to a good fence is a absolute necessity, right? When I looked at my yard, I looked at the one side of the fence and I went, I'm going to have to replace that, counted the number of lengths, and I knew that it was going to be X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And I knew that was a thing, right? But the other two fences were great and that was good, right?
Do you think Chalmers is going to do a perimeter check with a one side fence problem?
No.
It'd drive him crazy.
Yeah.
If they say no, you really, there's not much you can do.
I can't like go to the city and be like, look, this is like the fences, and they have a big dog too. Like sometimes
the fence is fine.
Sometimes the fence or the dog puts his whole upper body through the fence and barks at me while I'm doing yard work.
That's another leg to stand on for you to be like, look, your dog, it's nice and everything, but like this fence is not acting as a fence right now. Yeah. I'm going to have kids. We're getting engaged. I'm going to have kids, potentially a dog soon. Mm-hmm. I can't have your dog able to penetrate through this fence
and potentially penetrate my dog.
Exactly.
Can't have that.
Well, you can sell the puppies.
That's the thing with neighbors. Like it has to start out with real like understanding and a give and take there, right?
Yeah.
If I were you.
How comfortable you are to have that conversation.
I've never spoken to the guy, so we'll find out next time I see him.
Bring a beer over.
Here's what you should do.
He's old.
Give him a six pack?
Then a whiskey.
If you go to him.
We're going
to
drink this.
With the
hammer
idea
this out.
Of a fence.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, I think we could do that. You then have to go back to him with a quote for the fence.
Yeah.
In that amount of time, he has the amount of time to think about it, to come up with reasons why he shouldn't, to just have a quote, get a quote, have the quote ready.
Approach do it him first.
With the quote,
yeah.
The plan, make this seem so easy that you've done all this work that it is hard for him to say no, because now all it is just money. Because the real thing is when the fence gets done, those posts need to get pulled out. That's going to take a bobcat or a ton of digging. Well, you can say to him, I have good access. I don't mind if my grass gets a little bit ruined. Your grass will stay in good shape. We can access it. We can pull these posts from my side. The fence behind your garage, clearly we can't get to it from yours. So it just makes more sense to do it all from my side and say, you know, so even though we're splitting the cost, I am giving up this one concession.
Yeah.
It's a big
and
one.
You are going to get a lovely fence out of the whole thing. That's going to help with the resale value of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Chain link?
I think I'm going chain link.
I thought you didn't want the dog to see.
You put the slats in.
Oh.
Like the other side of my yard is chain link with the slats in. You can't
Chalmers
see
is disgusting.
You want me to go wood? I go wood.
What do you got against chain link?
Yeah, gotta go wood.
What do you got against chain link?
I have one part of my yard right now that's chain link and two sides that aren't.
Chain link fence is incredibly unprivate. Those plastic slats break all the time.
Mine have never broken in 2 years. What are you doing running into them like you're
a
pro wrestler?
Kick soccer balls?
No.
Not yet, but soon.
Do you have a child who might play back there?
Nope.
You want them sticking their hand through the fence and getting it bit off by this rabid dog?
Bit off
the slats in.
The slats.
Okay, maybe I'll do wood.
Grow up. You don't do a chain link fence and you don't go vinyl because only people with way too much money go with a vinyl plastic fence.
I'll go vinyl then.
No, it's a very luxury item to have a vinyl fence. They don't warp. What wood does is it warps. I just had to repaint my fence and it's a task, but now it looks great. You have to go wood and it can be simple. Make sure you put the things, the cross braces, unless you go with a stagger, put the cross braces on your side all the way, or do it one and one obstacle so that your kids can climb it and jump over and get their balls and jump back really quickly because they don't want to go all the way around.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe some gargoyles on top too.
They make those new like solar lights you can screw into the top of the fence post. Cool. Yeah, that's nice. And light all the way around. There's little puck lights. They're like, and they you screw them to the top and they've got a solar panel on the top and then they hang down over and they're a light. And cool. It's beautiful.
Yep. I have one other personal situation I want to run past everyone. But this one's hockey related.
Pregnancy, I was going to say, we're just going on the playoffs, right?
So
I love it.
I'm not going to be here on Thursday because I'm down in Arizona. And I got tickets to what will now be the last ever game at Mullet Arena.
Are you doing
Arena.
What?
Ooh, exciting.
I have a friend who is going down for that game.
He can sell the tickets for
He just sold his tickets 10 to 1 what he paid for them.
Whoa. So I paid $200 a pop. I can right now get $1,200 a pop for them. That's what the recently sold on StubHub says. And we have four tickets. So do me and my...
Who are they playing?
The Oilers.
Oh, I did not know that.
The Oilers play the last game in Coyotes history.
This is the last home game tonight.
Yeah.
Oilers home game.
Oh, so yeah. I overheard and I thought this was the last regular season game. Oh man.
$4,800 or Oilers Yotes at Mullet Arena.
$4,800, you paid $400.
Yeah.
It's a free trip to Scottsdale.
I don't even know how this is a conversation.
Are you staying in the same hotel?
Yeah. Nice. Staying the same. My parents are already there actually.
You could make $4,000. You've already been to Mullet Arena once.
But my dad hasn't, and he kind of wants to go. Amber's like, I would like to go. The thing for me is, I could
You got a fence to pay for.
I could just go get a press pass.
And so I can go by myself.
You leave the other three at home.
So you want to sell one ticket? Or are you talking about maybe saying, Mom, you don't like hockey. You chill. Go in a Waymo. And
Mom could not care less about this hockey game. So it's like, do I sell my ticket and my mom's ticket? Do we make $2,400?
Yes.
100%.
And then you get her a if nice your mom's bottle like, of Pinot Gris. Yeah.
If your mom rather just go do something outside of that game.
Yes. It's like you got a fence to pay for.
I do.
That is probably your half of your fence cost, right? Fence, what, $5,000?
Or is that depends how long it is. I mean, that's pretty realistic. I mean, depending on how long it is.
Free fence.
And I just have to convince my mom not to go to something she doesn't want to go to. That is, and I have to get a press pass. And then Amber can sit with my dad.
Perfect.
Like she's probably pretty smart.
I think.
Well, and you know the mullet. You can just like just be in the standing room together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's the beauty of it.
That's the move.
Will there be a lot of press passes available for their last game ever? Won't national press stampede in?
Well, I don't think so. I think it was
the brand of DFO can get you into any building.
That too.
Really?
I have a pretty good hookup with
our own.
Yeah. It's not our own.
I see.
Well, DFO can get us in the building.
Yeah. If I email and say I'm Tyler from DFO, can I have a press pass? I get in. Tyler from Oilers Nation. No email back. Tough break. That's life.
Yeah. Sell those tickets, Tyler.
Yeah. Should probably because then you can say
you did.
Yeah. And you made
right. Like you still got to go to the game. Like, yeah. And I went and I had two extra tickets and I flipped him. Think about Taco Bell Cantina.
Oh, all the Taco Bell.
Think about all the whole menu. Reinforcements for the courtyard pool party.
Just so that you can go home and you can have an idea of what you're looking at. A fence per foot of a nice wood built fence. You're talking between $40 and $50 a foot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
100
I'm,
feet of fence would be $500 or $5,000.
Yeah. I need 64 feet. Plus a gate.
Yeah.
So $4,000. I could do no.
So gate. You sell those tickets and you got your fence.
There's your fence.
Yeah. Well, if the guy goes 50-50.
But I just look back at the experience that I had with my family there.
Pretty fun.
This is pretty good, man.
But everyone's it's going, but mom. Charts.
I know.
But mom might need to
I
see
I also
it.
Had kids. I mean, I was with my kids. I was with my parents. I was with my wife. Is, and then a whole bunch of Nation
that's
listeners.
That's great.
It is top three NHL experiences I've ever had.
I'm
so glad we did it because it's the exact reason why you had to go do it because it wasn't going to happen again. And sure as shit.
At the very least, you sell your ticket, get a press pass. You let them three go. You take that press pass. And you remember how the seating was?
Yeah.
We all just moved around. I mean, it was like,
just cram right in.
You could literally just go buy a beer and go and stand with them. And I don't think anybody's going to care.
No.
But it'll be tougher to sell a single seat versus.
I'm also curious, like, just what are they going to do during that game? You know, like, hey, Coyotes fans, thanks.
Well, so the other side of it, too, is. Am I a dick for showing up in an Oilers jersey to the last ever game?
Are they trying to make it a whiteout?
They're trying to make it a whiteout.
I would oblige to that request.
Wear a white jersey. White
Oilers jersey.
Yeah, wear a white Oilers jersey.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you don't want to stand out that hard, hey?
Yeah, just wear a white Oilers jersey. It's fine.
So I just kind of feel by the whiteout.
I kind of feel like a bit of a dick being like, go Oilers last game for the Jokes.
That's what some of your neighbors could have is the sense. You understand that it's a whiteout. You have the respect for the hockey and for Phoenix, but you're still going to wear your Oilers jersey. You are giving and taking.
Yep.
Giveth and taketh.
Ouch.
You've hit that your head on that.
I know. Times, what the hell?
I think the plan writes itself, Tyler. White Oilers jersey. You know you got one.
So the last two games, do we have two games left in the season or three?
Three tonight and then Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Who before Phoenix? Got to be LA or somebody.
San Jose tonight, Arizona, then Colorado.
Yep.
Back to back on the road.
Colorado.
So Connor, in a week from now, we're going to be drunk every second night.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Connor's back in tonight.
Connor's back. Thank God. One game we could do. Three games.
Yeah, I got to put some money on him. He's going to. Did Cooch? Cooch didn't hit his 100 assists, nope. Did he? And what does McDavid need?
One.
Oh, shit.
Are we going to do a squad bet?
Oh, let's
McDavid one assist is what? -4,000?
Yeah.
Well, you got to do a little more fun than that.
What if you do -1.5?
Come on.
What did we think about the game against Vancouver?
I thought that boring. It was terribly boring.
Mm-hmm. I thought
the Oilers actually controlled most of the play. They just couldn't score.
Kane had that Cassian night where he was on the verge of like winning it on the ice in the positive way or being stupid enough to lose it by going to the penalty box too much.
I was more annoyed.
Oilers puck line and Connor 2 points is -110.
That is no fun.
That's not a lot of fun.
That is very little fun.
Let me do a little Masters recap. Not a lot of fun.
Well, there was Sundays, a window. Yeah. There was a window of fun. There was like those five holes.
The very beginning of the day on Sunday.
Up until 12. Until 11.
Yeah.
But when Tiger was playing that amateur, he's like, I can't believe it. I was in college 2 weeks ago. Here I am.
That was kind of cool, man. I got to admit, like, to be the only amateur that
super cool.
makes through the field, you know, you're going to be sitting in Butler Cabin. You get to your Sunday pairing is with Tiger.
That's wild.
And then you beat him.
He's an active college player. Yeah. And then you beat him.
And then you beat him.
I don't watch much golf, but I watched most of yesterday. It must have felt so great for Scottie Scheffler as he was walking up 18, knowing it's his unless something crazy
catastrophic would have happened.
But man, what a feeling that must have been.
Everybody, my favorite things about the weekend are all the memes that were putting pictures of his wife from the Masters, like from last year in the Masters when she was in her way, and saying this is the only person that can that can stop Scottie Scheffler today, because notoriously she's pregnant. Her due date was like yesterday, and so he had stood true to him saying that no matter what, if she went into labor, he was going to leave. Unless he teed off on the first hole. I said that to my wife kind of because she loves. If he teed off on the first hole on Sunday, he was most likely going to end that round. He wasn't going to leave on like 10.
Okay.
So he said that. So I said that to my wife on Saturday. I'm like, what a guy. Hey, like this is because she can really get invested if I tell her stories. So this was one of the stories I wanted to tell her. And her first reaction was, well, if I was her, I just wouldn't tell him. Like, he's about to win a Masters and like, could you imagine? Like, but that's what
know,
she said. I'm like,
I know, but he wanted to be there.
Well, of course. I mean, but like, if it was a matter of I'm having this baby on Masters Sunday and you're not going to be here because I found out Saturday morning and I didn't tell you, that's one thing. But like, if she went into labor on like Sunday morning, my wife's like, I wouldn't say anything. I would just let him go win the tournament.
She'd just be headstrong, be like, you know what? I'll just do 14 hours of labor and wait through this for him.
My second thing, there's note gate is happening. Tiger Woods apparently passed the amateur a note on the 13th hole, which is highly illegal.
Amateur guy?
Why is that illegal?
Why is it illegal?
But I don't
Casey
understand
was giving
why.
Him tips. I guess it's a
two-stroke penalty. What is that going to do?
I don't know.
Tiger Woods can tell me literally anything and will make me better at golf.
Maybe. I don't know if you guys saw when Tiger Woods handed Justin Thomas a little tiny tampon after he outdrove him, and it was kind of like a whole big thing.
Yeah.
Maybe he just wrote on the piece of paper, I got in trouble.
Don't do the tampon, Joe. Read this note.
Here, read this note, but this is a tampon.
You're a bum.
Avoid Perkins.
I was pushing for Max Homa big time. Really like
him. Max is a solid golfer.
Ludwig Åberg is going to win a lot of a golf tournament.
Ludwig is legit.
I think I really wanted more to happen for Vern Lundquist's last Masters call. I wanted him to call something amazing because he has some of the most amazing calls in your life. Have you ever seen such a thing? Do you know what that is?
Sounds like Vern Lundquist.
When Tiger Woods hits that chip and it rolls way back.
And then goosebumps. Drops in the end.
And they did a couple things on Vern, and I just
$200 million of earned media for Nike.
Yeah.
Oh man. And so, but it was just really, 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 what's the word? When it goes up.
Anticlimactic.
All I can think about is the earned media for Nike. Just anybody walking down the link or whatever, Nike logo up front, on the hat, on the back, like just that's Scheffler. Everywhere.
He's got Nike everywhere.
Yeah, they start putting it on the back too. I'm like, that's so funny. That's not on the shirts you get in the store.
I actually liked, who was it? Was it Homa? One of them, it might've been Morikawa. His scorecard holder, how he puts it, has a KPMG logo like sticking out. So I see his butt. I'm like, that's well thought out. That's good execution.
That's great execution.
Tiger's new logo on his new gear looks weird.
I don't like it at all.
It's like an Arc'teryx logo.
It's weird.
I don't like it at all.
I just felt bad for him. Like when it was cold and he had to play 24 holes on Saturday, he just looked...
It's yeah,
defeated
like his
butt, like an old man. You saw him spry on Thursday, a little bit tired. He just didn't have the pep in his step on Friday, and then Saturday you just saw an old man having to come up early in the cold, and then Sunday it was like just a warrior battling to finish. I didn't like it. I'm not gonna lie to you, because I love Tiger Woods, and I didn't like to see him fight and battle like that. I have to. Because physically, I mean, it makes you think, like, I'm old.
But you didn't train like a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, your body's not, his body's fucked up.
And it's not even from golf. It's from, like, extracurricular training.
And a massive car accident.
Yeah, the massive car accident.
That was, like, he was able to kind of come back from that. And then that is, like, the straw that broke.
It's amazing he lived through that, to be honest.
Didn't he almost lose leg, too, in that way?
Yeah, they thought they might have to amputate his shin down.
Lastly, about golf, then. In order for me to really be as invested as I've ever been, I need the LIV players and the PGA players to play together week in and week out. As much as I hate Bryson, that guy was polarizing this week.
Yep.
And there was times when I looked at him and I was just like, I think if I, with all his quirks, I didn't like him. $10,000 3D printed irons that he had.
That got approved the day before.
That got approved on Tuesday by the USGA.
What a weirdo. That's the same guy who played...
A movable object of a sign. Nobody would think to pick up a master sign that says Amen Corner this way and the whatever bridge that is this way. But he picks it up and moves it because it's a man-made movable object. Like his quirks, the things he does... I didn't used to like, but I found myself being
he's evolved.
I miss this.
He used to be the guy that wore those hats and
irons be the same length or something?
Same as a six iron.
Workout videos, you know.
And now it's like he's kind of, it's more endearing now than before.
And it's good for the game. And seeing him and battling at the top, like that's. That broad eyes. I mean, the PGA and LIV need to figure this thing out because in my view, golf world is not big enough for two.
Do you know any of the storylines of LIV? Like, do you know who's won what tournaments?
No. Who's good? Yes, I know who's good. There's one team that dominates the whole thing.
In LIV? Plays a team?
They play as teams.
There's an individual and a team.
Yeah.
Game.
I think Brooks's team is pretty dominant. And then there's like five guys who nobody knows of, and they all just like being able to wear shorts. Like, don't wear shorts at the majors, but let PGA let them wear shorts. Fuck.
Is Dustin Johnson on the good team?
I don't know, man. I honestly couldn't tell you. I just know that there's one team that's dominant, and I know Zach Johnson. Is he? He's bad for golf.
He's always been.
Anyways, there's my golf review. This world's not big enough for two tours. Get everybody back playing together. I want to see the best on the best. Right now, if they don't come back, there's literally three people on LIV that could contend. Scottie Scheffler, and there's about five on the PGA Tour. And if they're not all together, it makes those eight weaker to battle. What if this guy continues to go, will be a small portion of like what Tiger Woods was. The dominance
because it's not the same field.
Unbelievable. But the
but he's winning majors though.
So vanilla, and it's so for him. I heard somebody say the perfect thing: when greatness gets great, they always strive for more. They are never happy, and therefore they never stay in the moment and really absorb it. But they always have outside pressures, and then that is kind of the downfall of them. Where Scottie Scheffler's like, I'm great and I don't need to keep pushing. Like, I just need to do what I'm doing. A win at the Masters doesn't identify me. I know who I am. I'm the best golfer in the world. And I believe that that's going to help with his longevity. He's got no vices.
Honestly, the thing that'll it's his fucking follow through, man. He's gonna blow out an ankle. He's gonna fucking tweak a knee. Like that to me isn't sustainable. No. Like look how much his fucking ankle is turned right over.
His left ankle is supporting his whole body.
Like at some point, that's not gonna work.
No,
like, you have to figure that out. But right now, like it doesn't matter. That guy is so automatic and so clutch.
So automatic
and like, no reactions too on anything that he did.
What yesterday. Sport? Do you, as the top five golfer in the world, tell a dominant golfer in the world who's the world number one a tip on how to become better at the thing he's bad at? Rory McIlroy looked at him and put it in the news and said, Scottie Scheffler would become a better putter if he took away from that blade and went to a mallet. Scheffler did a week later and has completely changed his putting.
Wow, because that was a whole knock on him. Like, oh, like the greens are too tough. Scotty's not a good putter.
You think Connor McDavid's going to be like, you know, if Kucherov just...
Well, wonder what is on that Tiger Woods note. Yeah, what if... No, that's...
I don't know, man. Golf is just fascinating, and I love the sport, but I feel like there's so many good golfers out right now, and it's just being split in half. And you, anyways, on to the next one. OJ! I'm just kidding.
We've already blown past an hour.
No.
Yeah.
We were going to get into a whole deep conversation about...
Save it for Thursday.
Okay.
There you go. Pre-prepped. Big shout out to Duregard.
You're not going to be here.
Nope. That's why I'm saying save it for Thursday.
We'll forget.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Enjoy the last couple of Oilers games, and we'll be back Thursday.
Playoffs. Soon.
Playoffs.
Oil up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.